And he went to a little storefront building. And the pastor didn't make it in there. There was old tall cobbler in there. He had long fingers. And this young boy came in there and he was preaching. He said, look and live. And kept preaching this little boy there. Preach and live. That little young man got saved. His name was D.L. Moody. Probably everybody's heard D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody led a man to the Lord by William Chapman. He led a man to the Lord by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday led a man to the Lord by Mordecai Ham, officer of the Sunday teacher. And Mordecai Ham was preaching down in North Carolina, big revival. Some were saved. And out of that group, all because of Brother Kimberly, a man that came with a giant by the name of Billy Graham. So you teach it, you never know who you lead, that they will lead, that they will lead, what that person may come. But some of you don't get encouraged. You may not think they're listening, but you never know at all on the thing. The bulletin said I was supposed to give an update of the ministry, and I will. It's good to have our visitors this morning, and you're just home folks already since you're here on things. Come back again on things. Lighthouse Ministry, I want to thank this church, I'm going to preach on the man, for being my sponsor in church, and I couldn't ask for a better one or a better pastor, and pray for pastor's wife. Brother Cherry's gone through a lot, and she's gone through a lot. Not knowing, you know, the outcome and everything else there. The Lord has been really blessing this ministry. This last week, we had an email from California. They have 3,000 inmates, 800 without Bibles. They ordered 800 Bibles. We shipped 240. All the spring, where I get my Bible from, he's out of English Bibles. Won't have any till the first week of December. Then yesterday, another chapter called me and wants 200 Bibles and 40 cases is 800. The cost is about $17 a piece to send each case out. Pray that God will supply the funds, send the rest of the 800 out and the 200 out going out. Bibles do no good on my shelf. They do better out in the inmates' hands on things and all of our literature. We was at a church last Sunday morning, and they have a fall festival thing at the farmer's market outside of Murphy. And they set up a Christmas booth, and there were robes and things else like they did back then, and they had out gospel tract Bibles. And we just supplied them with four boxes of literature, plus some other Bibles that I had there on the thing. We have four or five saved every month. Nothing like this, what God's done. This is God's ministry. I'm just a man that he's using to it. Our biggest need is not financial. Someone come in and help us out. I said before, my wife and I are not getting any younger. Matter of fact, I just turned 79, didn't I? The ABA Association has a thing for listing of missionaries 80 and older. I got to reach 80. I want to get on the list. But I don't want to stop there either. We're going beyond that other thing. But Monday night, Polk County Jail, asked some other volunteers to go with me. Tuesday night, Fannin County Jail in Blue Ridge, Georgia. Every Wednesday, Rock Springs, Georgia, Walker State Prison. I have four pods. I can spend as long as I want to. If I want to do a one-on-one, I have an office I can use there. Private office, and then every third Sunday of the month, we drive 380 miles to Little Wiki, Georgia, a whole two-hour service for the men there. And this is one of the greatest ministries I've been in. Our pastor, social pastor, we were director of Rescue Mission Alignment years ago, and that was a great ministry, seeing lives change. And in this ministry, lives are being changed. I met a man over a year ago, Mickey Parks, Rayford Prison in Florida, the worst prison in the state of Florida. Several charges, plus first degree murder, sentenced to death, age of 14 and up, life of crime. One night in his cell, he got down and really gave his heart to Jesus and became a child of God, got a degree at a Bible seminary out of Jacksonville, Florida, had his graduation in the prison. The judge that sentenced him to death released him. Amen. The last 15 years, he was preaching gospels in prisons. He had to wait 5 years till his probation was over. Then they allowed him back into the prison system to preach the word of God. Lives can be changed in this ministry. No different than church house. People walk down, get saved, baptize them. They're here 6 months, and where are they at? You don't see them no more. Did they get saved? Only God knows. Those in the jail system, they get saved? Only God knows if they got saved or not. Pray for them. Say, pray for a pastor. I know y'all have been on the thing, and his wife and their son, Caleb, also. Is she still here, Caleb? Okay. When's she going back?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay. Pray for him. Is he flying back? Pray the airplane makes it. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to look at Paul, one of the great apostles of our time, on things. Now, Jesus was a great I Am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, the bread of life, the resurrection and life. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the door, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the true vine. That was Jesus. But now the Apostle Paul, he had some I Ams in his life also. And that's what we'd like to look at this morning. And starting in Romans chapter 1, in verse 1, we have a couple of text verses here. And before we get started, Father, we come to thee this morning, praying thy blessing upon your word, Father. May we lift you up and give you honor and glory and give you praise. And may the people be edified today, Father. If there's one here without you, we pray that today be the day of salvation. Or one look for a church home, may this be the place that you would have them, Father. We thank you for your love, your mercy, forgiveness, sin. Continue to bless our pastor, his wife, and the family. Just be with them as he continues them in Christ's name, amen. And I don't think I got this thing on, do I? Which button is it? There, the light came on. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. According to the knowledge of truth, which is after godliness. He was a servant, a bond slave of Christ. A sent one, apostle, a chosen one of God. According to the faith of God, the elect, and the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness. Paul was always on the Lord's side. Had those that believe in Jesus, put in prison, and had some killed also. And after his salvation, we find over in Acts 9:15 that Ananias was told to go to a street called Straight and seek one called Saul. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. And I believe all ministers are chosen vessel. Unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. That was Paul's mission field. Number one, go to the Gentiles. They was also called heathens on the thing. And then to the kings. We need to go to those who are in authority. There was a man years ago by the name of Carl Hatch, pastor of Hydro Baptist Temple in Hydro, Florida. He would witness to anybody, anywhere, anytime. He walked down to the mayor of Hialeah and told the secretary that he was an ambassador. She went back and said, there's an ambassador out here. Well, send him in. He walked in and said, my name is Carl Hatch. I'm an ambassador from heaven. I want to tell you about Jesus. And led Mylander to the Lord. We need to reach those in authority. And if we had more believers in authority, we'd be a lot better off today on things. So pray for those in authority. And then he would go to the house of Israel after that on things. In Galatians chapter 1, 15 through 16. But when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And then 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus, O Lord, who hath empowered me or enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Think about that. He counted me faithful. As Saul, he was against the Lord Jesus Christ. He made havoc of the church in Jerusalem. Put him in prison and had some killed. But Christ counted him faithful. Put him in the ministry of Jesus. He wasn't my call, daddy called, deacon. He was God called. And we need more God called men in the ministry today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, who had made us able ministers of the New Testament. Nothing wrong with the old. You study the old, it helps you understand the new. The new helps you understand the old. But I belong to a New Testament church, not an Old Testament church. The New Testament never could bring salvation. That's the fault of it. It brought it up to a point. It was those schoolmasters to bring us the teachers of Jesus Christ. Like John, who was called John the Baptist, came to prepare the hearts of the men that Jesus was coming and to accept him. And John said, I must decrease so he can increase. One thing. They came to John and said, who are you? I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. You can't lift up a voice, but you lift up a person. I must decrease so he can increase. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killed, that's the Old Testament. Almost every sin in the Old Testament, the judgment was to be stoned to death. I'm glad I'm living the day of grace. Well, I would have been stoned. Probably none of us would have been here today. But I don't know who'd be throwing stones at who on things on it. The woman caught in the act of authority, brought to Jesus. He without stain cast the first stone. He bent down and wrote something in the sand. Now these men knew her. Knew where she was at and what she was doing. Maybe he knelt down there and started writing the name of each one. Each one started leaving one by one because they had her name written in the sand. That could be it. Somebody said he wrote letters in the sand. I don't know. One thing. I'm going to find out when I get there. Amen. There's a lot of things I'm going to learn when I get there. Things I thought I knew, I'm going to find out I didn't really know them. Things. Paul's I am. Number one, verse 14 in Romans 1. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. The Greeks were the more intelligent people. while Barron was foreigners and less educated. The wise, they were considered to be wise, but they were not wise on things. Some people think they know it, and they just don't have it at all on things. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I believe he felt that way because of his life before he became Christ-like, putting those in prison, having them killed. I believe that he believed that he owed a debt to the family members of those people. And what he did, he couldn't undo. He probably wished he could. And the parents, the loved ones of those he had cast into prison, those he had killed, he owed those family of debt. Before you got saved, did you lead somebody down the wrong path? If you did, you owe a debt to them. You'll locate them if you can. Pray for them. Pray for them. Say, I'm sorry I led you down the wrong path. I owe a debt to you and your family members on things. I believe that was heavy on the heart of Paul. Own a debt that he couldn't repay. I remember leading a young boy to the Lord years ago, James Oakley. And he started telling me about Jesus. I said, kind of quiet down a little bit. I shouldn't have said that. Because you hamper what he's doing. You're killing the spirit of God. Where James is at today, I have no idea. But if I come up with him, I'm going to say, I'm sorry what I said to you. Kind of cool a little bit. Somebody's on fire, just let him go say on fire with the Lord Jesus Christ on things. But Paul said, I owe a debt. He made havoc of the church. Entering every house and held men and women, committed them to prison. In Acts 22:4-5, I persuaded this way and the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And also the high priest doeth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, for whom I also received letters unto the brethren. I went to Damascus to bring them which was bound to Jerusalem to be punished. The religious crowd gave Paul the authority to put the believers in prison. What are the authorities doing today? On the back table, martyrs. In foreign countries, there's believers being killed right now for believing Jesus. We met a couple several years ago from one of the foreign countries over there, and they were Muslims. They got saved. They had to flee the country or be killed. Members of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Acworth, Georgia, there. That's what it is. We don't realize what's going on around the world. How believers are being persecuted. We know nothing about being persecuted at all. Get you a book called Book of Martyrs. Read it. Times and dates and places of those who was killed for accepting Christ. We had many years ago a man come to our church. He probably had the largest collection of old Bible and scrolls. And he had Isaiah on lambskin. He had one Bible called the Martyr's Bible. The man was arrested, whipped, beat, everything else. They finally released him. He went back and dug his Bible up out of the backyard and said, well, the blood is the thickest is where he died, reading his Bible. And you can see the blood stains in that Bible and the thickness of the stain in that Bible. We know nothing about persecution here in America. Need to pray for those who are believers in foreign countries on things. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law of blameless. Paul thought he was doing God a service. And every unbeliever, they think they're doing God a service. I tell those in jail and prison, no matter who you are, what you are, what you've done, no matter what your lifestyle is, if you want to get saved, you can. But you got to have the want to get saved. I tell them that the greatest decision is salvation. The second decision is serving Jesus after the salvation. I believe Paul called many to be, not to accept Christ because of his lifestyle. Led them down the wrong path. He owed a debt to those people. So I am a debtor. Then Paul said, I am ready. Verse 15 of Romans 1. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul had a message. The gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Also the good news is he's coming back one day. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back one day. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I delivered unto you first of all, which I received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The church we visited last Sunday morning, they had a cross. They should have had Jesus on it. My Lord's not on the cross. My Lord's not in the tomb. He sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for me and you today. What he does today. Risen Savior. Thanks. Every aspect of the life of Christ was important. He had to be virgin born. He had to live a sinless life. He had to die on the cross. He had to be buried. If it stopped there, there'd be no hope for it. He had to arise, and he's coming back again one day. Maybe at the midnight hour tonight. I was at a mission conference at Ackworth, Hillcrest. I got to say Hillcrest, not Hillside. I get it mixed up. And we left there to go to Alabama. Wetumpka, Alabama. And there was just giant clouds over there in Georgia. I said, "Huh, look at those clouds. Maybe the day we're going up. We got over to Alabama." I said, "Folks, I'm sorry. Ain't a cloud in the sky. You ain't going up." "He's coming in the cloud," he said. "We're going to send up in the cloud one day." I said, "You guys are going to be left behind. You may not believe it, you may be left behind." I got left behind twice in my life. I'll tell you about that later. But he's ready to preach the gospel. The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer. People say, "I don't know how to witness. I don't know the Bible." Just tell what Christ did for you. Give your experience when you got saved. You have to know your scriptures. Just that there's a burden lifted away. And that empty space was filled up with the Spirit of God. One thing. I'd take you to the place. I'd tell you the time. April 4th, 1954. Flagstreet Baptist Church, Flagler and 32nd Avenue. The building's still there. They moved on to another location. I was in Miami, I don't know, years ago. Some Pentecostal group came in and bought the building. I walked in that thing. I got in the last pew where I stood, Before I got saved that, I went down front to tell them what happened back yonder. You may not remember the exact day, but you may remember when Christ came in and abode in you. There's a song we sing. Someday, if you got saved on a Sunday, say, it was on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can't remember, it was just someday I got saved. I tell the guys in prison, the greatest you can give at Christmas is your soul to Jesus. And anybody else, what's lost? The greatest gift is accepting Christ as your personal Savior. I'm a debtor. I am ready. Then Paul says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed. To stand on the highest hill and the lowest valley, Paul says, to preach the gospel, to witness, to let my light shine before men to see my good work, to glorify God. Never be ashamed. I know in different places I worked at, lost people working there, they come over and get a little group and start telling off-the-wall jokes. If you believe, just walk away from them. Don't be ashamed. Don't mix in with the crowd. Stand for Jesus. And you never know, by you walking away, who you may lead to Jesus. Because they see there's something different in you. Our younger son was dating this young girl. And her father was a non-believer. And we had a revival meeting, and he seen something different in Timmy. He'd be working on a car and hit himself a wrench. Timmy didn't say anything about it. Nice and calm. He didn't walk down. He ran down the aisle. The thing came to know Christ as Savior. Timmy wasn't ashamed to live his life before those. We should be ashamed to lead our life to those who are lost. You may be the only Bible anybody reads. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Apostle, he would preach wherever he could. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. In Acts, the apostles were put in prison. They were told not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. The doors came open. They went out. And did what the angel said. They went and they stood and they speak in the temple all the words of life. Put in prison for preaching the word. The moment that they were released, they stood there preaching the word of Jesus. When we was a director of rescue mission many years ago in Miami, Flagler Street, North Miami Avenue, little microphone, we were preaching the word of God. And the preacher came by and said, you're serving the people two blocks now. Well, they couldn't hear us two blocks now. All the buses going by. He said, turn your mic off. I turned the thing off. I'll still stand behind it preaching on the thing. 4 squad cars came up on the other side. And we find out that one guy in there that was listening to us preach was beat up on a policeman because he told the quick preaching the word of God on the thing. He was afraid to stand for Jesus. Getting back at those, he was persecuting us. One thing. And we had a lot of great experiences on the streets of Miami down there many years ago. But Paul wasn't ashamed to preach the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that will bring salvation to anyone. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, For I know whom I believe, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Paul led a suffering life. 5 times he was whipped with 39 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 1 stone, night and day in the deep. Bit by snakes. Dangers in the water. Robbers, his own countrymen, heathen in the city and wilderness. Weariness, hunger, cold, thirsty, and in prison. Paul, with all this, and he still preached the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed. And then he said in Romans 8:38, I am persuaded. Neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God. Don't be afraid to stand for Jesus, because nothing can separate us from the love. We can stand in all the ages because we're kept by the power of God. 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord delivered me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed. And I am persuaded, he says. In conclusion, probably the greatest thing in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, 6, 7, and 8. Paul was whipped, beat, left for dead over the wall. Bit by snakes in prison, and God delivered him from everything. Our life, God will deliver us until it's time to take us home. My aunt asked me a few years ago when I was going to retire. And so my retirement plan is when he takes me home. That's every minister's retirement, when God calls you home. Now Paul says this, I am now ready. All things have happened. Be offered. History says, not the Bible, that he laid his head down and they chopped it off. I am now ready. Cause of Jesus. For my departure is at hand. He knew it was just about time for him to go home. We may be the same way, knowing our time is ending up. And we need to be ready to go home. I fought the good fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and evilness, what we wrestle against. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. I didn't give up. He kept going for Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. I finished my course. God gave us a course. We need to reach the finish line. I kept the faith. Stand for Jesus. Stand for your faith. Stand for what you believe.
I fought the good fight. Have you fought the good fight? Are you finishing your course that God laid out? Have you kept the faith? And because of all this, Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I'm afraid a lot of people can't say, come, Lord Jesus. They're not with the law. Believers are in a backslidden condition. They're living a life that God's not pleased with. And I'll tell you this, if you get so far away from God, I believe God brings you home early, what the Bible tells you. Not to bring reproach upon the name of Jesus or the cause of Christ. Do you love his appearing? Are you ready to meet the Master? Time is drawing close. Every day is one more day closer for Christ to be coming. I don't know when he's coming, but I believe what he said, if I go away, I will come again. And he will. Song director comes, piano player comes.